Welcome to your radio show, Andy Breckman.
Hold on, buddy.
It's called 7 Second Delay.
Hold on, Ken. I'll be right with you.
And you're the host.
Hold on, Ken.
Really appreciate you.
Hold on, Ken.
Appreciate you.
Ken, hold on, please.
Showing up on time.
I'm just putting in a new contact in my phone.
Yeah. And Irwin gave us an extra minute.
Mm-hmm.
So we can really spread out, relax tonight.
How do you fill that extra minute? The Turtles?
You mean the band, the Turtles?
Yeah. Is that how we filled it?
Eleanor?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking of doing. At some point, breaking
out. Dusty Springfield? How do you fill that minute?
No, breaking out the Turtles. Definitely.
You can't beat the Turtles.
Show Me. Eleanor. Happy Together.
Happy Together. She's mine. She's my girl. And that's where I was last night.
The Battle of the Bands album.
Flo and Eddie, baby.
Howard Kalin. Genius.
Wait, who's Howard Kalin? I know Flo and Eddie.
He's either Flo or Eddie. He's one of the two.
Was he the songwriter?
I don't know.
If you wrote Happy Together, are your children set for life?
No.
No?
It depends what kind of deal you made. So many of these guys and gals back in the 60s signed the worst deals that they had huge hit songs that they didn't even own the rights to.
Well, they had to get some of the money.
Not necessarily. Not if they signed over all the rights. There's so many musicians who just signed over all the rights to everything.
Somebody's getting rich off of Happy Together.
I don't know that. We don't know. Maybe they were smart about it. Maybe they had a good lawyer at the time.
I hope somebody's getting rich because it always brings a smile to my face.
Yeah.
Did you ever see those guys live?
I did not. I might have seen Flo and Eddie. Yeah, actually, no, I did see Flo and Eddie. At the Bottom Line, and I recall them making fun of Peter Frampton and pretending that they were singing into a vocoder or a mouth box using a roll of toilet paper. That's the image that...
Let me tell you about my friend Ken. He never forgets a snarky moment. He can go back 50 years and remember every snarky moment in his life.
That doesn't even rank. That's not even the top 20.
I know. It's a minor little passing moment.
Nothing.
It was nothing. How else are you doing? Wait, was I here last week?
I don't remember. I've blotted it out already.
Yeah. That's a wonderful, glorious thing. A skill set, isn't it? I really can't remember last week. Wait, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Was I here? Just tell me if I was here.
Yes. You were here, and I just looked up what we did. And people seem to like that show last week.
Well, that doesn't help at all. Our fans, they don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah, we used
they have no taste at all.
We used the auto-transcribing tool.
Doesn't ring a bell?
And we recorded a show pretending we were women.
Oh, that didn't work at all.
And then, well, we had trouble.
We milked that for 3.5 good minutes.
It was fatally flawed.
Would you agree with this? We had 3.5 good minutes.
But
that was the ratio of good minutes to excruciating boredom.
I don't know about that.
3.5 to 46.5.
No, there were probably some zingers within those 46.5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but we had the girls. We put words in their
mouths.
Oh, we couldn't get a call.
Right, because we were putting words in their mouth. So who would want to call?
People were scared.
Yeah. And another mistake we made was that when we did the improvised script, we both pretended like we were reading, so people were confused, like, why don't you just post the script that you're reading from? But we weren't reading from the script.
Oh, I see. Yet. Oh, yeah, that's a good point, too. Yeah.
Hey, but we have a great show for tonight. We're talking about class action lawsuits.
Yeah.
Now
I'm playing back last week's show in my head. Just regretting it, regretting all these moments.
And we think
all these decisions.
Maybe you know
what could have been. That's all I think now when I think of old shows.
We think maybe you have a good class action.
I just want to apologize. I just want to do over. I just we should do it over.
I would like to do last week's show over.
I think
there's a lot of possibilities there. And I was actually surprised by how the auto transcription tool worked. It worked fairly well. We would need somebody else to fix it up, though, not me.
Well, you get in Josh Breckman.
Yeah.
If you could afford him.
Yeah.
You'd have to have a whole marathon.
No, I didn't mean a coder. We just need an editor just to take the raw transcription and whip it into sense.
You think we'd get chicks to call? We'd have a better shot?
If we didn't put words in their mouth, thing like, You know who my idea of an ideal man is? Andy Breckman. Yeah. I think if things like that are in the script, you're going to have trouble getting women to call.
Week to week on our show, you never know why we're going to repel women. That's kind of one of the suspenseful things about our show.
Well,
you never know what we're going
to
do to turn women
off. Let's get on with tonight's show.
Really? Really, Ken?
Do you? Yeah, really.
Okay, I'm going to remind you in a half hour that you said this. We're going to laugh. We're going to laugh in a half hour that you wanted to get on with the topic.
I lined up a special guest.
Yes, we have a lawyer. Yeah, he's a lawyer that that is an old friend of the show, friend of the station.
Yes.
Are we allowed to give his name? I guess he'd want us to give his name.
Probably.
Why wouldn't
he? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you have his number?
Yeah, I have his number here.
May I see his number?
Right. Here's his number. Should we give his last name? We'll ask Michael if he wants to reveal his name.
And why are we calling
him? We'll ask Michael Mernon
if he wants
us to reveal his last name.
Yeah, ask Mike Mernon what his feelings are on that, on the last name issue.
We're calling him because he's our resident expert. We need guidance, my friend.
On what?
We need legal advice.
On what?
We're going to be putting together, with the help of our listeners, a class action lawsuit. All we need is...
A case.
A grievance. All we need is one thing that more than a few of us have shared, a problem more than a few of us have encountered. Is that so hard?
Okay, we're calling Michael Mernon.
Okay, fantastic.
Esquire.
Hello, this is Michael Mernon.
Hi, Michael. It's Ken and Andy on WFMU.
Hey, Michael Mernon, would you have any problem if we used your full name, your first and last name on the show?
No, that's fine.
Okay, Michael Mernon it is. That'll save us a lot of editing later, won't it, Ken?
With law offices in Montclair, New Jersey, is that right?
Good enough.
Close enough, okay.
He'll give his name out, Ken. Don't expect him to reveal what town he's in.
Okay.
Okay? The man has some pride. Now, Michael, did you read in the paper about the trouble that Bayer Aspirin is in this week?
No, I didn't.
Well, they own Roundup, the weed killer.
Oh, yes.
Bayer owns Roundup?
Believe me, they wish they didn't, my friend.
I thought Roundup was Monsanto.
Well, I think they bought Monsanto.
Ah, okay.
Roundup is going to sink that organization. Wait, let's look that up. Let's look that headline up.
No, you talk to Michael.
I'm saying when I say we, I mean you.
Okay.
But that was worth thousands of dollars, that settlement. Isn't that right?
Thousands?
Yeah, thousands of dollars.
That's nothing.
I know, I'm joking. I'm making
are we on the air?
We are. Hold on. Believe it or not. Yeah. Believe it or not, we are on the air.
I know.
One can never tell.
Yeah, I've got some bad news for both of you. We're on the air. The mics are live.
So, Michael, this is a money-making scheme. We know that the Tobacco Master settlement against Philip Morris was worth $206 billion. Enron and WorldCom securities class action lawsuits were in the $6 to $7 billion range.
How about that Exxon Valdez, that leaky boat?
Yeah, that was $5 billion.
Hit more up
in Alaska.
Let's see more examples.
So we are wondering. We wanted to ask our listeners if they have a class action lawsuit in mind. So what should we be looking for, Michael?
Do people have to get sick to make this work?
Well, they don't actually, Andy, and that's a good question. A lot of people think about these suits as, you know, the type you're talking about against the Monsantos of the world. But in fact, there are a lot more run-of-the-mill types. Let me give you an example. Suppose you were a couple of guys working at a building in the city, like you're a doorman and a porter. Not guys.
I'll be the doorman. I'll be the doorman. I'll be the porter.
Okay, I wanted to be the doorman.
Okay.
Go on.
Ken is the doorman. I'm the porter.
And you figure out that you're an obscenely wealthy property owner.
Right.
Has been screwing you out of some of your benefits that you should be getting. Maybe not paying you overtime properly. Maybe various other employee benefits. And what do you do? How does one lonely doorman sue? We'll call the guy.
Let's say Mr. Finkelman.
We'll call him Mr. Stump.
No, okay? Let's give him a Jewish name to make it provocative.
Well, I'm going to make it
a little edgy. Come on, guys.
Abe Finkelman?
Abe Finkelman. I wish to God the name of our slumlord lawyer, landlord, was not Jewish. I wish to God, but that's who he is.
Abe Finkelman, he makes the list of the city's worst landlords every year.
Okay, it's Abe Finkelman. Okay. Oh, he's a real guy?
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
Abe Finkelman.
Okay.
So an attorney isn't going to be willing to take that isolated case to recover the $182 that Mr.
Finkelman
has robbed you of.
Yeah.
So instead, they're going to try to find a way to start a class action, essentially pooling the resources of a group of plaintiffs. So if it turns out that Mr.
Finkelman owns
a whole bunch of buildings,
right,
and is cheating a bunch of employees, then the economics of it present an opportunity for the attorney to pursue the case.
Because it would be 100, because it'd be 100 people with a grievance.
Right.
And
so the
doorman
can be made whole, all of them.
Now, would they have to reach into, would they have to open their wallets to hire an attorney, or do these attorneys work pro bono?
Well, it's not pro bono.
Oh, I'm sorry, not pro bono. I mean on contingency.
Well, it's ultimately a recovered fee if you settle the case, you negotiate. There are various ways you can end up being compensated, but the point being, you're being compensated for a share of a much larger pool of recovery than if you just were doing it for a single plaintiff. And if you had to do it for a single plaintiff, you wouldn't be able to, that plaintiff wouldn't be able to afford to hire an expert witness just for that one case, for instance. Right?
So
it's a way of pooling resources.
So, Michael, how many
the risk of the suitor?
How many plaintiffs do we need for a successful class action lawsuit? Do we need hundreds or thousands?
The calculation is sort of made based on what the expense of it is. So you kind of add up what, from the attorney's perspective, what is this going to cost the attorney or the firm to mount the case, to put it on. So it could vary. It could be. Could be hundreds, could be thousands, and you find some representative plaintiffs, and you then end up once you get a class certified, you advertise to make everyone who's possibly a member of the class aware.
That's right. I've gotten those letters.
Of course.
Right,
well, and
right.
Well, it begins with one. It begins with Aaron Brockovich. It begins with one crusading do-gooder that finds one victim, and then you find some other plaintiffs.
You might say that what you're really doing is you're rounding up your plaintiffs.
Let's say this is another hypothetical. Let's say there's a roundup. But let's say there's a radio show that promised, let's say, a premium to listeners to raise money during a fundraiser.
Right.
And that radio show dragged their feet. That radio show didn't deliver in a timely manner, and people never got their premiums. What could those listeners do?
Well, I think in that kind of situation,
yeah,
I think you'd want to just practice what's called in the law self-help, and that's where you just show up at the station, you storm the Bastille, so to speak,
and demand your premium.
Yeah, that's a more efficient way to go about it.
And then you get the premium, take it home, play it, and then demand your money back. It's an endless cycle. Okay, so we're going to open the phones, and if you could make yourself available, we just have one small favor to ask you, one more small favor. You've been very kind and patient with us, but a little before 7, we'd love to run a few ideas past you. We're going to ask listeners to make some suggestions. What the hell could our listeners possibly, what grievances could they possibly share in common?
Well, it could be banking, you know, Wells Fargo, is there a class action lawsuit against Wells Fargo? I think there is, right?
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, there's got to be.
Securities fraud. You could have things like, with all the data breach, right? All the loss of privacy.
Oh, yeah.
Facebook and all.
But you can't sue a government entity. Is that right? You can't sue the state of New Jersey because the parkway is closed and we're all... they're doing construction, and we're all late for work.
Cost $300 to file a lawsuit, Andy.
Can you sue a government agency?
You may not get very far.
Yeah, my understanding is that that you basically cannot sue the federal government. I don't know about city or states, but federal government, you'll get nowhere with a lawsuit. That's my understanding.
Also, Disney World is supposed to be tough. Disney World, they don't roll over.
All right, Michael,
they'll meet you in court.
Thanks for your guidance.
The hope is, of course, you come at these companies and these corporations, and they buckle and they'd rather settle. That's the hope, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you don't want to go to court.
There was the Samsung exploding telephones. Remember that?
And who got money for that?
People who bought them. The Galaxy 7. The Galaxy Note 7.
And you had to sign up, though. You had to sign in and be part of it.
There's Uber. Uber's drivers are filing a lawsuit.
Oh, the drivers are?
Yep.
Oh, it never ends. What other ones?
A lot of consumer fraud cases are class action. So you might have a company that issues gift cards that improperly lose their value over time. Certain states have laws against that. So if they've sold, 100,000 gift cards in New York State or New Jersey and they lose value over time, people bring class actions for something like that.
How about the lottery? How about the New Jersey lottery? I've bought so many of those scratch-off tickets.
Tragically.
Never saw a nickel.
What about a Hollywood movie, like a comedy, and you pay your $12?
Yeah, go ahead.
You pay your $12.
Right, you're expecting, they advertise it as a comedy. It's almost an unspoken contract.
Right, and you
They're
go
guaranteeing
in,
a certain number of laughs.
And you hire a babysitter.
Go ahead, yes, and then go ahead.
You go in, you buy your popcorn,
it's
your
It's a nightmare
Coke.
Scenario, yes, we can relate to this.
You sit down, and there's not a single zinger in the movie.
Yeah. And you just
what happened?
I thought
a funny person wrote this movie.
I would make a note of the writer's name. I'd come at him personally. He owes you big time.
Okay, Michael, you've given us food for thought, and we're going to check in with you again in about half an hour.
Talk to you then, guys.
Thank you, Michael. That was Michael Mernon Esquire, who has a law practice somewhere around Montclair, New Jersey.
He's the real thing. He's one of the good guys.
Right. So we're looking for class action lawsuit ideas. Pokemon Go.
Anyone that screwed you over recently that you think might have screwed other people over as well. If you have a grievance and you think other people might share it, give us a call. We have a lawyer who may take your case if he's impressed with it.
Pokemon Go creators got sued in a class action lawsuit over invasion of property.
Because their game had people trampling over people's lawns.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so pathetic.
Yeah, there's Facebook, Twitter, Google, Amazon. I'm sure there's got to be some class action lawsuits in there. So give us a call at 201-536-9368 if you have an idea for a class action lawsuit. Now we just sit back and wait for the calls to come in, Andy.
Avert your eyes. Don't look at the the telephone board, switchboard.
They're blocked. I've got it blocked.
People go blind.
I know.
Can you give the number out?
Burn your retina. Yeah, I gave it. It's 201-536-9368. But don't worry, I'm not looking at the keyboard.
Well, we know women aren't calling because we've been down that road last week. 201, say it again.
201-536.
Hold on. 201-536. Go ahead.
9368.
93. I'm sorry. 201-536-93. Go ahead.
9368.
Hold on. 93. I'm so sorry. My mind wandered.
68.
I got you. 201-536-9368.
Hi, you're on the air. Class action hotline.
I have a great idea for a class action lawsuit.
Hold on. What is your name, caller?
My name is Dan the Man.
Dan the Man, we'll know him as plaintiff number one.
I have diabetes. I've been using insulin for decades. And in the past 5 years, the price of insulin has skyrocketed. I think it's a scheme by these companies to work together to raise the prices of whatever brand you
want. Do you know which pharmaceutical company raised the prices? Do you know?
Novo Nordisk.
Oh, yeah.
Novo Nordisk and Lilly.
Okay.
Both have raised the prices of insulin astronomically.
What did the price go from to?
It has gotten as high as $300 or $400 a bottle, and it used to be like under $100.
And how long does a bottle last?
You know, that depends on how much insulin this, a person this uses. Is, you know, you've been about a bottle a month.
This has actually been in the news lately as well.
I believe it's, you know.
You believe it's a coordinated, nefarious effort.
Oh, there's got to be collusion going on.
And, of course, according to the news, these companies are claiming it's, for some reason, it's not worth it anymore. The profit margins are not what they used to be for some reason. I didn't read the article.
They're full of it.
And the other thing you hear is because my wife is going through it. My wife has a chronic illness and also depends on medicine. And she actually pushes back. Have you pushed back? Have you picked up the phone
I just try to, you know, I mean, I do, I have insurance,
right?
And I've got Obamacare, and it still can be as much. It's, the prices can be ridiculous.
Well, you just burn through your deductible then every year, I guess, right?
I don't burn through my out of pocket max until the end of the year.
Okay.
Last year, I didn't hit it until December.
Now, I'm guessing, I can't believe this is virgin territory. I'm guessing other patients, other insulin users have you been contacted yet? Or
No.
Well, maybe we're onto something. This is a billion dollar lead, I think.
Thank you, plaintiff one.
Plaintiff one.
I'm in.
Yeah. So the price
okay,
of insulin.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, plaintiff one.
We're at, I don't know. What are we at here? It's 8. It's 8-9-3.
No, you're looking at it upside down.
8-9-3-6. Hold on. I got you. I'm with you. Rookie mistake. 201. I'm a little embarrassed. I got it, Ken. Yeah. I'll do it. 201-536. I got it. 215-36.
9368.
9368.
Yeah. All right. Caller number two. You're on Class Action Hotline.
I think insulin, it just seems too big for us.
No, it's not too big for Michael. Michael can handle that.
He'll have to put it.
Yeah, we're gonna
get some. He'll have to get some help.
We're gonna bring down the next Martin Shkreli. Hi, you're on the air.
I don't know that reference either.
Hello.
Thanks for calling.
Oh, you don't know, but Martin Shkreli was the pharma bro, like the most.
Oh yes,
the most hated,
nefarious guy that was jacking up his prices.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I heard all that.
Yeah, the smirk.
Ken, we have a call. Ken,
the king of the
smirk. Yeah.
He bought the Wu-Tang album.
That's right. The one existing copy.
Yeah.
Okay. Ken, say hello to the caller.
Hi, caller.
You love the show.
Hello.
I love the show.
I do love the show.
Oh, thanks, brother. You have.
Oh, you're breaking up bad. Are you in a car or something?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Wait. What cell phone service do you have? Maybe it's everyone else has problems with it, and we can have a class action lawsuit right there.
It's AT&T.
AT&T.
Oh.
Man, if I was an AT&T customer and it sounded like that, I'd want a little payback.
All right, what's your name, plaintiff number two?
I'd like to stay anonymous.
Okay, plaintiff number three. We're going to call you plaintiff number three.
Why? Because plaintiff number two gives
away
too much.
He doesn't want people to know his real name.
That's right.
Okay, plaintiff number three.
But you can't stay anonymous if you're really going to pursue this legally, but let's hear what your story is.
Well, for the purposes of this call,
yeah.
If we bring it further, I could come forward.
It is kind of a waste of time to call WFMU and then ask to stay anonymous. You're just wasting your breath, really. No one's listening. All right, and what is now? What product has been causing you grief?
So there are surveillance cameras on the doors of people's homes.
Yes,
exactly, right.
And I'm aware of some sort of situations that where people who own these devices have caused some like UPS workers, for instance, some stress. You know, maybe they accuse them of you know, damaging their property or something at their address, you know, and you know, jeopardizing their job or something like that. This is not what happened to me, but I've had a similar situation and caused by one of these surveillance devices.
You mean you're in the delivery service? You're a delivery person?
No, I am not a delivery person, but I've been affected by one of these devices.
Well, you've got to give us a few details. How could it have affected you?
Well, I live in an apartment building, and I've been surveilled by one of these devices and reported for falsely reported for some criminal activity.
And so, yeah. I mean, would we report the device manufacturer, or would it be the person who the entity that installed the device, or who do you have in mind for the class action lawsuit?
I would say the device manufacturer.
So
that's incorrect. You want to sue everybody.
Right.
You want to sue everybody in sight.
But there's one homeowner in particular that I believe you're really angry at.
No, I'm saying the device in particular. So they
would you say that the device itself is inherently evil, or would you say that they misused the device? They installed the device on their side of the door, obviously, private property, correct?
Okay. So, I mean, this is... So I watch another. I listen to another show here on Tectonic about kind of the same issue where these companies like Amazon they'll take data and store it and say you live in a building, right? And now they're kind of storing this data on you.
I see where he's going with this. Don't tell us the name of the company that manufactured this device. Just tell me, does it rhyme with Bamazon?
It rhymes with Bamazon.
It
yeah.
does. Okay. I think we know.
Now, I'm just so curious. Everyone who's listening is curious. What behavior did they think you were engaging in? What did they...
Vandalism.
Oh, vandalism.
Fraudage? Oh, vandalism.
And was there a recording of it, or was it just their word against yours?
There's a recording, but not of the actual activity.
And were you kicked out of your apartment?
No, but legal action has been taken against me.
Wow. Well, just be happy you weren't falsely accused of fraudage. Vandalism is kind of cool.
No, vandalism's not cool. This guy's in real trouble, Ken.
Yeah.
Ken doesn't understand. Right. Ken left his moral compass years ago. He left it at a bus station.
No, I mean, vandalism is what, like, you know, great graffiti artists get
busted
for.
Yeah, that's right,
for.
Ken. Vandalism's cool.
Like Banksy, you know.
Yeah, that's going to be his defense, Ken.
Yeah, okay.
This guy has been falsely accused, Ken.
Yeah. Maybe
it's a criminal case.
Maybe he's the next Banksy.
Yeah. I don't think there was that kind of vandalism.
Okay.
So the Amazon, maybe there are others that will join you. There'll be an army of people that just are tired of these cameras. Their cameras are everywhere. And these are not government cameras. These are cameras on private property, right?
Right.
Citizens
right.
are being recruited to do the government's work.
Yes.
So these devices, they track, the comings and goings of people, and they store it as data, and they notify people. When someone is at their door,
yes.
or when a car passes by or something, like it could be,
Yes, people now, people in the suburbs, they have shown me footage of a bear at their door or animals walking by their front yard.
Right, right. And you could see your neighbor down the block, for instance. And this device could be abused.
But you would have no problem if your neighbor said he peeked out his door himself and witnessed someone vandalizing the hallway. That would obviously, you'd have no problem. Well, then it would be just a false ID, a false witness.
All right, we got to move on.
Okay.
We have other calls, but thank you,
sure.
plaintiff number three.
Is surveillance. I can see.
And we're going to take your case to Michael, the lawyer.
Are you sympathetic with plaintiff three?
Maybe.
I have one of those cameras on my pointed at my front door. Do you have one of those cameras?
No.
Oh, they're so groovy. You get to see Plaintiff 3 vandalizing your your front porch.
I think I think you'd have to go further than what happened to him. I think you'd have to have a class action lawsuit about a company that whose name rhymed with Bamazon, you know, perhaps recording, you know, using right. devices like Alexa to record you and store it and sell those audio files.
Right. It sounds like it was a resident that made that dropped a dime and, right. and called the cops. Okay, let's take another call. Okay. Wait, first let's give our phone number.
Oh,
we're putting together a class action lawsuit. No,
you're holding it sideways.
Huh?
The two goes at the top.
Wait, I've lost it.
201 at
hold
the
on,
top.
Hold on, I've lost it. Hold on. 201. I can't even read my own writing.
536.
Hold on, Ken. I've got to start over. 201-536-9368.
Well done. And we're looking for your ideas for class action lawsuits, and we're going to talk to lawyer Michael in about 15, 20 minutes and run your ideas by him. And we go to Paul in New York City. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you? Can't believe I got through.
Hey, Paul, I can't believe you got through.
You love the show. That's the most important thing.
That is. So I do have a class action lawsuit that should be taken care of, I think.
Okay, sir. We're with you. We're ready to believe you.
All right. So I don't know if you're aware, but Lumber Liquidators does have a class action lawsuit against them for their engineered wood flooring.
Uh-huh. Hold on. Wait.
Poison in the particulates, eh?
Well,
wait a minute.
That is specifically for engineered wood flooring, which is a multi-layered laminate product.
Wait a minute. Wood flooring.
I went into that store and I purchased solid stranded bamboo flooring.
Yep.
And subsequently made my family sick, my animals sick.
Whoa.
I got a formaldehyde detector because I was concerned after the 60-minute thing.
Oh, well, it's been on 60 Minutes. We're playing catch up here.
Maybe there's not a class action lawsuit.
Well, how could there not? It's been on 60 Minutes. I missed this story. So obviously there's some chemical in the flooring, right?
Right. But I was told after trying to get rid of this, even I tried to bring the garbage after I ripped it out of my house back to Lumber Liquidators. They wouldn't take it. I just tried to get rid of it. I didn't want to have to pay for it because I already paid to put it down. I know I bought it. I put it in my house, and then I ripped it out. So Lumber Liquidators gives me a call back, and they say solid stranded flooring is unregulated by the federal government, and I can go F myself.
Well, now we're looking it up here. It's imported from China. You purchased it, and it was made in China. Is that correct?
That is correct.
It says here that if you purchase Chinese-made laminate flooring sold by Lumber Liquidators between January 1st, 2009 and May 31st, 2015, you may qualify to receive benefits from a class action lawsuit. Settlement.
This is not laminate. This is only the top layer of the same laminate product.
Ah. Okay, so we're talking about a second brand new class action lawsuit.
Wait, but he's already knocked on the door, Ken. And who told you that that it was unregulated and there's no deep pockets to go after?
Lumber Liquidators, their lawyer.
Their lawyer.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Well, they're sort of a biased source.
Yeah.
Paul,
I couldn't get a time of day from these guys.
Okay, hold on. But
Paul,
you know
I'm going to call you.
Replace it.
Paul, we are going to call you plaintiff number two.
Yeah, you're plaintiff two, and we've got. Wait till Michael Merwin hears about this.
Yeah.
Am I right, Ken?
This is a good one.
Michael Merwin. Here's my impression of Michael Merwin right now, sitting at home listening. Laminated floors. Oh, he's drooling.
Oh, from the money.
Yeah, from the money he's going to make.
He's going to make on fees.
Wait, and do we get a taste of this? We put this together. We got to talk to Michael.
Yeah, we'll have to work it out with Michael.
Woo! Ken!
Thank you, plaintiff number two.
Ken!
Yeah!
All right.
Woo! This is how you do it. Plaintiff number two's pain and agony. His family got sick. His animals got sick. His pets got sick.
Yeah, formaldehyde.
And
but
we'll be sitting pretty.
That's what they you know, soak dead bodies in, formaldehyde. It's bad stuff.
Exactly.
All right, Jean.
Exactly.
Jean-Marie in Maryland, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, you're on. Can you believe it? You got through?
Pain and agony.
Hey, could you? I know you're right near your phone. Could you turn your? You're right near your radio. Could you turn it louder? Just a little bit louder.
Turn the radio up a bit.
Just up a bit. We love the echo effect.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect.
Okay. Oh no. So I'm calling. I know everybody complains about Comcast.
Yes.
But I'm calling about a chronic problem that I don't think is ever addressed. We live in Rockville, Maryland, and we recently retired, so we bought a snowbird house in Florida. And we have Comcast in both locations. I know we're stupid. We got it down there, too.
Yeah.
And we, and for the past, you know, 15, 20 years in Maryland, and now the past couple of years in Florida, almost monthly they make a mistake on our Comcast bill, particularly anytime we make a slight change. My husband likes to watch, you know, college football or basketball. If he wants to get all the SEC games, yes, we have to pay an extra fee. But anytime we make a change, they make a mistake, and it's always in their favor.
Yeah.
And so my husband has to spend a couple hours each month.
Exactly. And those hours are those hours are worth money to everybody.
Well, that's insane. I mean, I know we're retired, but there's a lot of people that are not. And I'll give you an even worse example is his father passed away a couple of years ago, and his parents had Comcast in Frederick, Maryland. And when we went, when his father passed away, my husband went to help set up everything for his mother. He looked and saw that Comcast had been charging his parents almost $100 more a month than they should have been for years. So he called up Comcast, and they said, "Well, yeah, you don't have standing because the person that the contract was with is dead." So,
but you're exactly right. If our lawyer, Michael
Mernin,
I don't know, yeah, whatever. If our lawyer can prove that it's a systematic problem.
Right, unfair billing practices across the board.
But now, does it have to be, here's my question, does it have to be malicious or can it just be sloppy bookkeeping?
But they're always sloppy in their favor. Therefore, I don't think it's just sloppy.
Yeah, I think you'd have to prove intent. I think you would have to prove that they were intending to defraud.
Well, then you need someone inside. You need someone inside Comcast.
Right.
To step forward. But, you know, there are now whistleblower laws that will protect that person.
Jean-Marie, this is a good one.
This is a good one.
Can we call you plaintiff number four?
Oh, sure.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, plaintiff number four.
Okay, we're going to make your case to our to Michael Mernin.
Mernin. Okay.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Mernin.
And we're getting your ideas for class action lawsuits.
Hold on, I'm going to write it down. I'm just embarrassing myself.
Yeah, write it down.
Hold on.
Mernin.
Nin.
N-I-N. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 9-inch nails.
Hold on, Mernin.
No.
Mernin.
No E. No
Mernin.
E.
So what did, like, 9-inch nails, how did that help anyone?
His you know the 9-inch nails logo? N-I-N?
No. Who would know that? How would anyone know that?
Anyway, his name, the last three letters of his name are N-I-N.
Mernin.
Yes.
Like mermaid, except Nin.
Right.
Imagine a nincompoop mermaid. Now you're rolling.
I've got it pictured in my head. I'll never forget
it. Hey,
you know
who else we have to thank? This idea today, this show idea was from my friend David Feldman.
Oh, thank you, David.
I think you might have met him at one point.
Yeah. I remember David. Great.
He's joining our writing staff as of today.
Your writing staff? Oh, the 7-second delay writing staff. The crack 7-second delay writing staff.
Well, Molly and Evan can't carry the load every week.
They've aged out.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas David Feldman, 9-year-old David Feldman, has many good writing years ahead of him.
Well, 9-year-old emotionally, that's for
sure.
Sarah
in Jersey City, you're on the air.
We'll meet plaintiff number five.
Plaintiff number five.
Hey, Sarah. Love the show.
I do.
And what has been your grievance? What's got your dander up?
So I'm a chronic pain patient, and we have been unfairly and extremely harmed by the way that the opioid crisis has been portrayed all these years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people want to do is sue the opioid companies for the prescription of opioids. But what's actually been happening is that in 2016, the CDC had some whistleblowers come out say that, oh, we've been recording all of this data wrong for all these years, and prescription opioids are not actually a severe cause of the opioid crisis anymore. It's illicit opioids and nothing prescription almost at all. And so the CDC's completely ignored that. And
right.
they put out, I'm sorry, that happened in 2018. The CDC in 2016 put out a recommendation to doctors as far as how they were going to prescribe pain medication with regarding opioids. And the way they read it, the way they wrote it basically resulted in doctors everywhere dropping patients instantly, which resulted in a lot of patients going into withdrawal, actually getting on to illicit opioids because they were going through withdrawal and wanted to go for anything that they could get to help them get through this.
Uh-huh.
Suicides increased. A lot of people have gone on to disability much further. Myself, I ended up having to go into the marijuana management program because it was the only way I was able to work was getting something to get the edge off, which is a whole nother story in itself as far as how that's affecting people.
So you, and, so you know, you've met Ken personally then?
At the meetings.
One day.
At the meetings.
So,
have you tried Kratom? Have you tried Kratom? Have you heard of Kratom?
I have not been able to get my hands on any of that.
Oh, yeah. Let me know if you get some.
I've been wanting to try it.
Me too.
It's been on my list. But basically, okay. all of this has been happening. You know, they've already been outed for this. They
right.
came out this year after a study was done about the effects. It was done by a few different organizations, including Pain Nutrition.
Okay, Sarah, who do we sue? Do we sue the Sackett family? Do we sue Pfizer?
Yeah.
Do we sue CDC? All of them, right? All of them.
Yeah. So the CDC actually came out this year basically being like, oh, yeah, we wrote this poorly, but it's not our fault.
Well, the CDC, that's a tough target. That's a tough, tough target.
It's the federal government.
It's the federal government. So basically, to sum up, you're saying that what's been forgotten in all the hoopla in the headlines are legitimate, responsible opioid patient users.
Yeah, patients who need it.
Patients who use it and use it responsibly.
It does have a private entity to it. Maybe individual people who tried to quiet the whistleblowers, the media. There's so many different layers to this. I know it's more than one person can handle, but this is a major thing that definitely needs to be addressed.
Now, you sound like you have a little bit of anger behind all this. Who are you angriest at the most?
I'd say, the entire administration, but we can't sue them.
CDC?
So I honestly, at this point, I'm mostly especially mad at the media at this point because the media has had the chance to report on the CDC being outed and barely anybody's ever picked it up. Every once in a while, I see maybe a little opinion piece come out on like CNN or The Times or WAPO, and then it just does not get touched
because
by anybody else.
Because the sexiest headlines are people misusing it.
Right. Right.
Yes. Definitely.
That makes Time magazine covers.
All right, Sarah, we're going to take your case to Attorney Michael. And my advice to you is get your hands on some kratom.
Yeah, feel better. That's tough. Being chronic pain is a real thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've got it.
I know you
do. Ken, report back on kratom too if you ever get to try it.
Will do, Sarah. Thanks.
You two sound like man. If we were doing a dating show, I think we'd have a real score here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You can just sit around.
Kratom in love.
You can sit around doing your kratom and talking about talking about your aches and pains.
Hey, we have an open switchboard right now. The phone number is 201-536-9368.
We can review all the class action lawsuits that we're going to run by our lawyer.
We have got another 5 minutes, and then we're going to call back
Attorney Michael. The CDC has misrepresented the opioid crisis, according to Plaintiff 5. Plaintiff 4 thinks Comcast is systematically, intentionally overcharging customers. I went through that recently with my provider.
I believe
that.
Yeah,
that rings true to me.
Yeah.
Plaintiff 2 put down some wood flooring that he got from China.
Formaldehyde.
Soaked. It's made his family sick. He wants to be made whole for that.
Made his pet sick, too.
All he wants is someone to be held responsible. Plaintiff number one, our first call, was very upset about the price of insulin. Price of all those drugs are going up. Somebody explained to me that these drug companies are afraid that the drugs are going to be regulated very, very soon, that Congress is going to is going to lock in on the prices, and so they're jacking up the prices now. Plaintiff number three was concerned about Amazon marketing these surveillance cameras that are pointed at him when he's trying to vandalize a hallway.
I think he's doing graffiti art.
Yeah. Guy can't vandalize a hallway anymore in his own building without getting reported.
It's art.
Yeah, it's art.
It's not vandalism.
Yeah.
So if you have an idea for a class action lawsuit, call right now, 201-536-9368.
We have time for...
time for one more.
Do we have time for one more?
Maybe one more if you call right now, and then we're going to take it up with Attorney Michael.
Yeah, so...
Because there's big money in class action lawsuits.
What's your beef? Who used to do What's Your Beef? Was that Jay Leno on the Letterman show?
Oh, I don't remember.
He used to do a running thing.
Theranos. There's the Theranos scandal.
Yes, that now is high profile.
Yeah. Elizabeth Holmes.
What else? Who else is suing who?
Jennifer Lawrence is going to star as...
Can we sue Jennifer Lawrence if her performance does
for
not...
What?
Does not...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Disappoints us?
Right. Yeah, we should sue her. I'm sure there's Game of Thrones fans who want to sue HBO. Those insane Game of Thrones fans.
Yeah.
Oh, Starbucks is getting sued. Oh, that was a couple of years ago.
What's that about?
False advertising over drink sizes.
Oh, they didn't fill the drink all the way to the brim?
I don't know. Yeah, something like that.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah. Yeah, too much ice.
Too much ice to
water
down the drink?
Yeah, that there's so much ice that it's false advertising.
Now, was that thrown out? Did someone see a nickel for that?
I don't know. I don't have time to.
Well, I guess, wait, hold on. But maybe.
Underfilled lattes.
Yeah, but maybe there's some truth to it. Maybe it was a corporate decision.
Underfilled by an average of 25%.
You know, one extra scoop of ice per cup, it probably saves billions of dollars to that company.
Yep. All right. I guess we're not getting any more. So.
Now, hold on. Come on. Give the phone number away. Come
on. 201.
201. Say it louder.
201.
No, that's too loud.
201.
Say it slower.
201.
No, now you're too slow. Now you're just toying with me.
201.
Yeah.
536.
That's how you do it. Normal voice.
936.
That's how you do it. Was that so hard?
No.
It's the broadcaster of the year?
Yeah. I'm going to take me some swimming lessons from a bowling ball.
Swimming lessons from a bowling ball.
Yeah. I guess we don't have any more class action.
What the hell are you talking
lawsuits.
About? Oh, that was my little
that
joke.
That was your joke.
Oh, yeah.
Getting advice on radio from Ken Friedman is like taking swimming lessons from a bowling ball. I thought it was a great joke.
Wait, what was the setting for that?
Stuck with me. That was at my roast.
Oh, that was at your roast.
In February.
Yeah, that wasn't much fun. We should sue you. You said it was going to be fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, look up the word fun. Here's Gidget Goes Hawaiian. That's fun. Compare that with this. And then
Gidget Goes Hawaiian.
Show a clip of your so-called
man,
roast.
Oh man, your references are just outstanding. Gidget Goes Hawaiian. When did that come out? 1964?
That's the baseline for fun. Anything,
Sally Fields,
anything,
right?
I don't know. If that's
I think,
good.
Yeah.
Anything
think
north of Gidget Goes Hawaiian is fun. Anything that makes you happier than that is fun.
Gidget Goes Hawaiian.
That's not me. That's 1963. That went all the way to Supreme Court.
All right. Joel and Patterson, give us your class action lawsuit quick.
I'm suing McDonald's.
Over McDonald's. What? There you go. You go, girl.
Over what?
I was on the TV this morning. And I saw a burger, Big Mac, looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
At the McDonald's in Newark on MacArthur Highway, and I got a Big Mac, and I was super excited. Ate it in the parking lot, opened it up, cracked it open, and it looked like I can't say it.
Yeah,
it
you can't
like,
say it.
Can't say it.
So you want to sue
but
McDonald's?
But I got it right. This is legit. It happens to everybody every single day.
So wait, you want to sue McDonald's because because on TV and their TV ads, the burgers look more.
Oh, it looks beautiful.
So they don't.
Probably not even real. Probably
how did it taste?
I was stoned. So it tasted great.
Yeah, you could.
Exactly.
I can see. I'm surprised lawyers aren't beating down your door now. But wait, but what? What fast food chain can survive this standard? Are there any?
Mike's New Jersey Subs.
Oh, Mike's Subs. Oh, Jersey Subs.
They work.
They all right, work. We got to go. We got to call our attorney back.
Plaintiff six is upset.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ad on ad on South Park looked different than the actual burger he got at the drive-thru.
Let me have Michael's phone number again.
Okay, hold on. Hold on, sir. I put it in my...
I remember the first four digits.
Okay. Oh, wait. Hold on. Hold on, my friend. Hold on, my little friend. Does he want to give the phone number out?
I doubt it.
Is he ashamed to be associated with us?
No.
I'll never forget his name again. Michael Mernon.
Yeah.
You know that band, the Nine Inch Nails?
It's just
good afternoon. Man.
Hi,
hey, Michael.
Michael.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys? How's it going?
I hope to God you spent your time, your hour wisely, and you got some work done.
Well, we'll say I spent it wisely.
Okay. Did you listen to any of this crap?
I listened enough to point out that Sally Field played Gidget in the television show, Ken, not in the movie.
Oh, who played Gidget in the movie?
Yeah, Ken.
Deborah Wally.
Oh, geez. Okay.
I know. I don't know what can I do, Michael?
That was my blackout.
He's
period.
My partner.
I'm sorry, man.
I'm locked in. I can't change partners now.
1961 to 1979. I have no idea what was going on.
You're just an embarrassment. You're just embarrassing yourself and the station, Ken. Okay, so you want to quickly review? Did anything you hear ring like it might work at all?
Well, I actually heard your recap. I heard your recap you did right before that.
Yeah.
So I didn't hear all the calls, but I heard the recitation.
Yeah.
And my feeling is this. I'm very sympathetic to the people with significant medical problems and the chronic illnesses that are being, you know, having drug price problems or being caused by some horrible company.
But and I hand, and I also will pretend to be very sympathetic with them.
And well said.
Yes.
And but I have to say that I think there's a universal appeal to going after Comcast for ripping off everyone on their cable bill, because everyone's had that experience of calling to complain and having them offer to knock money off your bill. And why don't you just give it to me for the good price to start with, right?
What this woman said, and I, by the way, it rang true for me too. This woman said that there are regularly mistakes made on her bill that always are in Comcast's favor, and it takes hours and hours to correct them, and she suspects that it's more than just sloppiness. She suspects that there's something systematic going on.
I tend to agree with her, and it also has the appeal of not being suggestive of having to hire a lot of high-priced scientific experts, but rather just a couple of accountants to review stacks and stacks of bills.
Yes, because if you review 100,000 bills and a large percentage are wrong or have been corrected, you've got a case.
Right, and accountants are a dime a dozen, whereas you know a microbiologist, on the other hand,
exactly,
not a dime a dozen.
But don't you need someone inside Comcast to blow the whistle to prove malice? Can't Comcast say we're entering so much data, of course there's going to be errors, and we always correct them as best we can?
Well, you develop enough evidence to get to a threshold where you are allowed to take discovery. I mean, that's not a very high threshold. And then you start taking, you know, depositions of the people with knowledge. And when every time they tell you they're not really the one who knows, you get the next name of the person who knows. So there's nothing like being in a little conference room with the heat turned up.
Of course, the challenge here is if you've been cheated by Comcast, you've only been cheated for a few dollars. It's not like a tumor is growing and there's a life at stake.
True, but everyone's experienced this, right? And everyone is going to be paying attention and think, hey, they probably have cheated me too.
And everyone's
going to then think, and I'm probably right.
Right, and it's a PR nightmare for Comcast, and they might want to settle just to shut you out. But now, wait, Ken has found a story. Ken, why don't you share what you just found?
Well, actually, Comcast has been sued a bunch of times. And in fact, in terms of unfair billing practices, they've been sued in Minnesota last December.
Oh, does it have to go state by state?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So,
oh, I see.
Yeah. So in December of 2018, the Minnesota Attorney General filed suit against Comcast, alleging that they had swindled thousands of customers through rate hikes and made up fees. So
It's a little different than the stories we've been hearing.
Yeah.
But
made up fees.
Well, that's a little different. I think our caller, who was calling from Carolina, if I recall, said that they were just that Comcast wasn't making up fees, but they were
making errors.
But how is this case resolved? The case you're quoting.
This was only a few months ago, so I don't know if it is resolved yet.
Well, maybe Comcast feels they can weather these PR storms.
Well, they've been sued now in about three or four states, and there have been a number of class action lawsuits about their set top boxes, about rental fees on their set top boxes.
You know, they drive me crazy too because they keep you. Our caller was exactly right. They keep you on the phone, and they move you from by phone. They move you from department to department.
Right.
And you're 5 hours on the phone.
They just
and
wear
you nothing
down.
They have nothing to show for.
Yeah.
She sounds pretty savvy.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for your
Michael,
help tonight.
What is your very quickly? What would your advice be to this woman? Who should she contact first? A local lawyer? She's not in New Jersey.
Yeah, she should contact a local lawyer and initiate a discussion. Many lawyers like this will have an initial meeting with you, probably a couple of them, for no charge at all. They want to explore.
She should find a lawyer that obviously specializes in chasing these ambulances.
These Comcast-driven ambulances.
Yeah, these Comcast vans.
Right.
Well, once again, we're indebted to you, Michael. Is that right? Ken, say thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Michael.
Michael Mernon.
Michael Mernon, Esquire.
Are you a fan of Nine Inch Nails? Do you have their posters all over your walls?
Never heard of them.
Exactly. There's a man off
my own
heart.
That's the lawyer for you.
Yeah.
Just go to Montclair and ask around.
I've met my soulmate.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
Take care. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Nick the Bard, for helping out tonight. Thank you, David Feldman.
For joining our writing staff in this idea. Veronica, of course.
And thank you, Irwin, for giving us an extra minute, which allows us to go out with the turtles.
Oh, he gave us a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he ate a minute.
No, he gave us a minute, which is why we can play the turtles now.
Well, no, you're going to... Well, now people will realize what they're missing. This is entertaining. This will please people.
Well, I want to give a good lead into In Real Life with Emily and Kinsella.
Well, hey, the show today sounds great.
They're coming up next. What's the show tonight?
They told me all about it.
And what is it?
I don't remember. But here's all I remember. It sounded great.
Okay. Stay tuned for In Real Life with Emily and Kinsella. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. I think I love you.
Could I get a sip of water? Would that be all right?
I'll get it.
All right. I'll stay this same distance from the microphone.
Yeah. Give me some Easter eggs and I'll find them.
I think I was last in this room with Amadeo.
Oh, boy. We're joined by the one, the only Jack.
Hold on.
Jack. The Machine Silbert!
We did a couple of broadcasts together. That's how I got connected with the Brett Davis world. All I know is we are going to raise a lot of money tonight.
No. Already did that.
Oh.
We're not raising any money tonight, Jack.
Wait, I was in Cancun. And I caught an early flight back.
Right. Because you thought...
With the understanding that...
This was like a special appearance? No, this is just the second to last episode of my show ever.
Penultimate.
A penultimate extravaganza. or a penstravaganza, as some have said. We've got all kinds of pens here. We're going to be testing out the differences. We're going to be doing some reviews of pens. And we're just going to... Just three pals talking about pens. Clicking pens.
Evening life. What was that? Why are you looking at me? I'm not going to mess it up again this week.
I was just checking to see if you were going to like leave a little dead air before you say good evening lifers, or if you do like the
like
fade.
No, I do the crossfade, man. I'm a professional.
Now
you made me do it again this week.
All right, go ahead.
You're listening. Where are we even? Good. Do some shoe. Thank you. I gotta get into my Good evening, lifers. You are listening to In Real Life. I'm Emily.
And I'm Kim Zilla. Hello, Emily.
Hello, Kim. And hello, lifers.
Hi, guys.
If you want to say hi back to us, you cannot do it with your mouth.
It's not a two-way radio.
We can't hear you.
You can type it, though, if you'd like to. If you go to WFMU.org, and you can click on Playlists and Comments, and there's a whole bunch of awesome people there already.
You say hi with your fingers.
You can say, that sounds dirty.
Does it? American Sign Language, Kim. People talk with their fingers all the time. There's a lot of ways of doing things. You can talk with your fingers. You can write with your toes.
That's true.
There's
Do you remember the guy that used to write
be.
My Left Foot? Do you remember that movie?
I don't remember that movie.
It was about the guy that didn't have arms, so he wrote with his feet.
Hey, that's a great segue.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to end the story there because he does have a terrible demise. I think he choked, but he couldn't get it out of his throat. But this isn't going to happen to our guest.
Yeah.
Because he has arms.
He does have arms. He doesn't have part of his legs, though. But
we're not giving away the punchline, are we?
I don't think
the
so.
Story?
I think that's a known fact.
Yeah.
There's a lot that's known about our guest tonight. You know.
Yeah.
You might have
social media called. I called it. You don't know Jack. Yeah. Even though it seems like everybody knows Jack.
Everybody knows Jack. And everybody knows something about Jack. Everybody knows, I think, a piece of the Jack puzzle.
Yeah.
Right? You've probably seen him at a show at Maxwell's. Maybe you've seen him around Hoboken.
You've probably heard him maybe on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a special guest on a few shows here.
Yeah. Maybe you've seen him down in Monty Hall.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Or in like a bad pizza place. Mm-hmm. He likes to eat lots of fried foods.
Yeah. You've probably seen him like hobnobbing with some well-known musicians around Jersey or New York.
He also reads to kids.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a nice guy. So if there's anything altruistic and nice, he might be in the scene.
Yeah. So there's a lot of pieces to Jack. But tonight, what we were lucky enough to do is get all of those pieces together in one place and have Jack narrate them story style.
Yeah.
And give us the whole puzzle. So
we couldn't even put in the whole puzzle because mm-hmm. there were so many good parts.
And he's
that
such
we're
a
actually
storyteller
gonna have
too.
Two different versions. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to remind you guys that we have a podcast out there.
We have a podcast?
Yeah. It's under In Real Life WFMU. So if you look wherever you get your podcasts, mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's like iTunes or whatever. But if you look that up, there's going to be a special version of this interview that has a little bit of an extended interview. So please, 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 please join our podcast. And also, please, please, please write a review.
Yeah.
Not just a review, like an awesome review.
Tell us you like us.
Please.
Please. We like you.
Yeah. We like you. Do it back.
Do it back.
Jerk.